And thanks so much for tuning in to your community radio station, KRBD Ketchikan. I'm Maria Dudzak, and this morning we have some special guests joining us. Coming up in early March, there is a Compassion Trauma Circle. There's a project called the Compassion Prison Project that we'll hear more about in just a moment. And coming to Ketchikan is, again, a special event. Joining us this morning from the Compassion Prison Project is Executive Director and Founder Fritzi Horstman. And we also have Romanda Simpson joining us from Ketchikan Wellness Coalition. Good morning to both of you.
Morning. Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining me this morning. And I think we'll start off with you, Fritzi Horstman. What is Compassion Prison Project?
Compassion Prison Project, our mission at Compassion Prison Project is to create trauma-informed prisons and communities throughout the United States. And when a prison or a community is trauma-informed, we look at people through the lens of trauma instead of what's wrong with you. So we ask what happened to you. And once we find out that they're traumatized, that there's trauma involved in their behavior, we see compassion and forgiveness and understanding instead of punishment, cruelty, and dehumanization. And that's our mission. And I ask all Ketchikan listeners to consider how much we judge each other and judge the people in prison. And they're not the worst thing that they did. They are complex, wonderful human beings that made a terrible mistake, and they just need help healing instead of being destroyed further.
How did you start this program?
I read a book called The Body Keeps the Score, and I found out I was highly traumatized. Not as highly traumatized as the people in prison, but still I was on the highly traumatized list. About a month later, I walked into a prison and I realized that it wasn't a prison, it was a trauma center, and just nobody knew it. And so from that day on, I've devoted myself to bringing trauma awareness to the people in prison.
And how do you go about doing that?
Well, we go in and we do the Compassion Trauma Circle. That's the first thing we start with. And there's a video on our website at compassionprisonproject.org called Step Inside the Circle. And basically it's a circle. And for each adverse childhood experience that I list off, and I'll just tell you what the top 10 are: physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, physical neglect, emotional neglect, parent or caregiver addicted to drugs or addicted to drugs or alcohol, parent or caregiver mentally ill, suicidal, or depressed, domestic violence, parents divorced or separated, and someone going to prison in the family. And I have 8 of those. So in the circle, we take one step for each adverse childhood experience that we've endured. And I also add things like homelessness, growing up in foster care, being bullied, racism. And one thing that's interesting is traumatic brain injury. Up to 87% of the people in prison have traumatic brain injury. Tomorrow, March 1st, is Brain Injury Awareness Month. And if anyone in your community is interested in brain injuries, email us at info@compassionprisonproject.org and we'll send you our info packet. But we're also spreading awareness about traumatic brain injury because it creates more aggression, more inability to follow instructions or even to understand instructions. And when you're living in the prison environment, not being able to understand instructions can actually get you into solitary confinement, extend your sentence, or get you beaten up by officers. So it's really important that the officers and the prisons understand the effects of trauma on the brains of everyone living in prison.
And I did watch part of the videos that you had posted, and the Compassionate Trauma Circle is very similar to what was done in schools for Challenge Day, which the Ketchikan Wellness Coalition, I believe, sponsored that. Romanda's shaking her head. And
yes,
it's a very similar event.
Exercise.
And very, I actually assisted. I was one of the adult assistants in that. And it's very moving.
Yes. And I don't know what exercise you did, but did you talk about trauma? Is
yeah,
that what
it
you
was
did?
Very similar.
It's
a whole program of like they have the students play first. They just like toss a beach ball around and just try to interact with each other. And then it comes to a point where you stand in a line instead of a circle. You stand in a line, and then it is that type of thing. If you've ever been bullied, take a step forward.
Step to the line.
And
yeah,
it was very, very similar questions.
Yes, step to line is great. The difference, I'd say, probably the biggest difference is we're specifically focused on trauma. And so to see yourself surrounded by people that are also affected by trauma, and same with step to the line, what happens is you start realizing that we're more the same than we are different. And same with step to the line, but we're actually, I think step to the line kind of shows the differences in people more than there's some, I don't know. I don't want to talk about what I know about step to the line, but when I did step to the line, I cried all day. We did it in prison and I cried all day. So it's very powerful exercise. But the thing about trauma is we don't even know about how traumatized we are ourselves or the people in our community. And when we start seeing that, that's the awareness that we all need, is that, my gosh, I was beaten as a child. And when you're beaten as a child, it changes your brain. When you're humiliated as a child, it injures your brain. And so what we're talking about is brain injuries. And we don't want, we know for our children, we want our children to thrive in school. But if we're hurting them at home, they're not going to be able to absorb what's going on in school, because they're going to be worried about their safety. And so, you know, all parents I know are doing the best they can, but hurting your child does not help them at all. And it actually, four or more of those things that I listed off of those adverse childhood experiences, there's a 7 times more likelihood that you'll go to prison. And so we really want to make sure we're taking the best care of our child's brains. And that includes traumatic brain injury. We don't want to hit our babies and we don't want to injure our babies. And that's the awareness I want to bring. You know, I was freaked out as a mother, really injuring my child's brain with my anxiety. And I'm trying, he's 15 now, and I'm calming down because I'm aware. Awareness is the key. Once we're aware, it's a whole nother ball game. But if we don't even know what's going on with us, how can we heal? How can we stop doing what we're doing unconsciously, not even knowing what we're doing? And so it's just to bring awareness, loving awareness to everyone that they're not bad people. They're just traumatized, and to reach out and get help and information.
How have the prisoners responded to this program?
I've heard people say, this is the most powerful thing that's ever happened to me. I had no idea I was traumatized. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And honestly, I say the same thing to Bessel van der Kolk, who wrote the book. I met him and I'm like, thank you. You've changed my life. So I just want to give to the people what I got, which was, I'm not my behavior. My erraticness in driving or yelling at my child or inability to connect with my husband was because I was traumatized. And now I'm healing all those things. And that's what's available for all of us. But we have to know, like I said, we have to know. And, you know, just like thinking about neglect, children get neglected because the parents are too stressed out, or they work all day and they're not home to connect with the child. And all those things injure the child's brain. And so I think all parents, if they can, need to dive in and figure out what trauma is, does to the brain, body, and spirit. That information is on our website and at the Compassion Trauma Circles that we do.
And I noticed, in addition to having the Compassion Trauma Circle, you also get together and have discussions?
Well, we also have a curriculum that we've created called Trauma Talks that we're piloting in prisons right now. We'd love to pilot one in Alaska and also in the communities. If the community center is interested in piloting, we're happy to bring the materials to you. But so you watch the video for an hour and then you sit in circle for 2 hours. The thing about sitting in circle and being in community, it's the best healing tool you can do. It's the cheapest healing tool you've got. But you got to get out there and get out of your isolation. Trauma separates and community heals. And that's the algorithm we're working with at Compassion Prison Project.
How long has this program been going on?
2 years. And we've really kind of jump-started it in 2020 when the video went viral. And 2021, we've been developing trauma talks, and now we're launching, and I'll be going overseas to do the circle in 4 prisons in Scotland, hopefully 2 prisons in England, and I'm waiting to hear about Ireland. So, and Australia, New Zealand, they're all both interested in bringing the program there, as well as Kenya and a bunch of states in the United States. But I Alaska's small, so we could make this a trauma-informed state before any other state. Delaware's a trauma-informed state, but if we get the prisons, then Alaska could be the first trauma-informed state. I'm just putting it out there.
I'll say it's a big state, but it has fewer people. So yeah, it's
exactly.
And easier to get from community to community, in a sense, or the larger communities that have prisons.
Exactly. Well, any community where there's trauma, and I would argue every community has trauma. And so let's raise this awareness. Why are you hurting your child? Because you're stressed out. It's not because you hate them or because they're bad. It's because you're stressed out. And so we have to start being aware of what our stress does to our nervous system and why we're stressed out. And, you know, a lot of this is generational trauma. A lot of my trauma was from generations. My mother's part Cherokee. My mother was raised in a sharecropper's home. Her mother was an alcoholic, you know? And so this just gets passed down and passed down. There's no shame. And that's the thing, is when you're abused, you feel shame. When you're abused, you feel like you're not worthy, because when someone hits you, what's the information that you receive is that I'm no good. Obviously I'm no good, or this person wouldn't hit me. And that's not true. And I really just want people to understand they are perfect. It's just that they forgot. And I'm here to remind people that we're really perfect. And I know it sounds like nonsense somehow, but no, deep down, we all know that we are divine, incredible humans. And so why would we ignore that fact? We seem to pay attention to everything that's bad and dangerous and violent. Well, let's start paying attention to our unique, magnificent, magical selves.
And I understand that the Compassion Trauma Circle will be coming to Ketchikan. And I don't know if that's a question for you, Fritzi Horstman, or if Romanda, also Erica Paquette has just joined us from Wish. Is there, how will that work here in Ketchikan?
Well, it's done by Zoom, and it's on March 9th at 9 a.m. Alaska time, I believe so, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And it's 4 hours, but is that okay? Is that right, Romanda?
Yeah, that's correct.
So the thing is, it's instead of taking a step, you raise your hand for each adverse childhood experience you have. And, you know, people say it's one of the most powerful things they've experienced. One woman has been in therapy for over 12 years or 12 or 20 years, I don't remember, but she said that one day was more powerful than any amount of therapy she's had. And that's what's on offer on March 9th for your community. And I'm just so excited that Ramonda's bringing this to the community.
And how would one, I guess, register to be part of this? How does that work? Is that a question for Ramonda or?
We have a link. Yeah. We have a link, and it's at alaska.cpp1.org. And I don't know, Ramonda, I don't know how you're going to spread the info.
Yeah, we've got, so we just actually released like a kind of a flyer online on our Facebook page, is probably the easiest one. I'm trying to upload it onto our website, but our website's having some fun times lately. So there is, if you go to our Facebook page, you should be able to see the flyer with the direct link. You can also direct message us and we can support you in registering for that. Just really want to share that it was actually the work of a local volunteer, Carolyn Dixon, who spent a lot of time and effort getting this opportunity to Ketchikan. So she had reached out to us and we said we would help support in the promotion of it, and then been able to work with the staff at Compassion Prison Project to kind of get the information out there. So it's a good opportunity for the community in general to participate in a trauma circle for themselves. And at this time, we don't have anything going on in the prison. So this one is for any person in the community that would like to explore more around ACEs and how it might have impacted them, their own lives. And I know Erica, thanks for joining us, has done a lot of work at WISH doing education in the schools, actually, around trauma-informed approaches at our schools. So kind of how Fritzi was saying, you know, you send your kids to schools and hoping that they get good care, really wanted to make sure our schools and our school district as a whole is taking it from a trauma-informed approach. So, I mean, Erica could probably talk about what they do at the schools, but there's a lot of work in our town around ACEs, and ACEs are adverse childhood experiences. And those are all those things that Fritzi mentioned. And just because you have experienced those ACEs does not mean you're going to end up abusing drugs or alcohol. It does not mean you're going to end up being, so there are ways to break the cycle. And that's actually building protective factors. And that's actually a lot of what Ketchikan Wellness Coalition does, is building the protective factors. So that was my little spiel there. I don't know if somebody else has something to add or... Yeah, I went off on a tangent. Sorry.
No, it's fine. And I want to say, again, that would be the Ketchikan Wellness Coalition Facebook page where you can find more information about this. And let me ask you, Erica Paquette, tell us about the program in the schools.
Well, we've just worked with the school district in Ketchikan Indian Community a couple times to put together some trauma-informed training. So the first one in 2018 that we did, it was the Trauma Sensitive Schools Conference, where we had quite a few speakers and everyone in the district got to attend. And, you know, for some people, that was the first time hearing that trauma-informed language or healing-centered language and practices. But the school district here has really supported a lot of these projects and programs in the school. And we are currently in collaboration, again, with the school district and Ketchikan Indian Community, where we are providing mental health services to students that have been exposed to violence. But along with that, it's a comprehensive grant. And so that includes teacher trainings on, you know, basically how do we respond to kids? And then one of the long-term goals is making a kind of a district-wide response to trauma. So it doesn't matter who you walk up into the school, everybody understands it's those trauma-informed principles and practices, like recognizing that trauma exists and that we don't necessarily have to know someone's background. Trauma-informed principles and practices are really beneficial to everybody, whether or not you've experienced trauma. So making sure that those things are kind of upheld in the school district. And then when I jumped in, you were talking about the parenting and stuff. And so at WISH, we also do parenting classes, and it really is focused on families that have experienced violence in some way, or ACEs. But it really does look at, yeah, we understand, right? If people have anyone, it's really hard to parent if your stress level is high. So it really focuses on, like, what can we do tangibly to help bring that stress level down, getting people connected to resources so they are able to pay their rent and have food on the table and have free time where they can build connection with their kids and kind of work on unlearning those patterns of behavior that are detrimental to just bonding with your kid and all of that stuff. So WISH has, yeah, lots of programming available for families that have experienced trauma.
It's incredible. And just, you know, for parents listening and the stressed out parents that are listening, just see your child and meet your child and remember that moment you met him or her when she came into the world and how you felt when you saw that incredible being. And remember that, and remember that in you, and remember how your parents forgot that in you, and how we learned the rules of stress instead of the rules of compassion. And I think, you know, schools are the first place where we can have interventions for trauma and for really seeing the child and meeting them where they're at and not punishing them for acting out. Because I think if you have a kid in school acting out, you have a kid that's traumatized on some level. And also bullying, you know, bullying is a sign of somebody being traumatized. And to meet that kid and say, what's going on, hun? What's going on? Because I know you're having a hard time. And try and break the cycle of bullying, because you know, you're kind of being bullied at home, and not to put parents down, but it starts at the home.
And Romanda, I think you raised your hand.
Yeah, I was going to mention, because Erica was really talking about resources, right? And how do we provide resources? And interestingly, that's actually one of the things that Ketchikan Wellness Coalition focuses on. And this might be a good time to talk about the Reentry Coalition and the work that they've been doing, because, you know, Fritzi's talking about a population that has experienced trauma oftentimes, and even just being in the system, that means that people are experiencing trauma. And when I think of what the Reentry Coalition is focused on, it's actually providing the resources to individuals who are leaving incarceration and working to support them and re-entering into society. Now, let me tell you, our society is not friendly to those that have been in jail. And so there's multiple barriers. There's over 50 statutes and laws that basically eliminate access to resources that would actually help these individuals reestablish a positive lifestyle. So the Reentry Coalition really focuses on that. One of the biggest successes Jeff Bullock was able to do as our reentry coordinator was establish a home. And we have a 5-bedroom home in which reentrants are able to live in while they are transitioning either to permanent housing or into treatment. And so that's mental health or substance use treatment, as many of them have landed in jail because of that type of behavior. So the house has been instrumental in the success of there was 23 reentrants last year that lived there, and every single one that had a positive experience was able to say, you know, I would have been either on the streets or on a couch of somebody's that I probably shouldn't be at. Housing is one of the key resources, and then also case management. So even just understanding how to apply for a job or how to do a resume or basic financial budgeting. These are things that these individuals may never have experienced before. And so getting them up to speed on that, plus trying to navigate the very confusing system of getting back onto Medicaid and getting a cell phone. And it's a barrier every single step of the way, which does not help when you're already traumatized. You're trying to make the right steps and everything is saying no. So the Reentry Coalition does some really, really great work.
Okay. And we unfortunately are running out of time here. Are there any last minute thoughts that you would like to get in there?
I have one. One thing to think about is if those people are returning home and they can't find a place to live and they can't get access to the things that they need, there's more victims that may be created because they cannot get their needs, their survival needs met. And so I think it's incumbent upon all of us to find ways to welcome these people home. They've served their time. They've paid for their punishment. It's time to have them be welcomed back into society so they can pay taxes, so they can be community leaders, which a lot of the people I'm working with in prison are. And let's give them the benefit of the doubt instead of the benefit of our hatred.
All right. All right. Well, thank you all of you for joining me this morning. Again, Fritzi Hortzman from the Compassion Prison Project, Romanda Simpson of Ketchikan Wellness Coalition, and Erica Paquette of WISH. And again, coming up March 9th is that Compassion Trauma Circle via Zoom, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and you can contact the Ketchikan Wellness Coalition for more information. Again, thank you, everyone, for joining me this morning.